mouth. The meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. I don't know how many of you have heard, but Tom Char, our bishop until most recently, passed away on Friday. It's not unexpected. He has suffered with brain cancer since the diagnosis shortly after he announced his retirement. But with this particular announcement came a flood of stories from friends and folks who knew Tom well. If you read the article in the Boston Globe, you'll know that Tom was well-respected, well outside of the Diocese of Massachusetts. And in all of that, it reminded me of one of my favorite stories about Tom. On the day of my ordination, I don't remember if this was the diaconate or the priesthood, Tom was getting ready with the procession down in the room behind the cathedral, the sanctuary, where everybody was gathered and was getting ready for the ordination. As it happened, my family was there talking with somebody that they knew. And as he finished up answering questions about what was going to happen next, one of the virgins or acolytes, someone asked him about the order people should walk in the procession. And Tom turned around and said to my son, "So, what do you think we should do?" And my son said, "I don't know, whatever my mother says." So Tom proceeded to tell this at the offertory in the middle of the ordination. And after everybody had finished laughing over my son's reaction, Tom said, "I found that's a good plan too." My husband later commented, "Gee, Tom knows you better than you thought he did." I think a lot of us were often surprised by how well Tom understood us. I think we are often surprised by our bishop in general. Because Tom was a monk, and we expected him to be unworldly and separate and somehow not part of the lives that we lead. And yet that was never what Tom was like. Despite being a monk and dedicating at least 90 minutes a day to prayer, being in fact one of the most prayerful people I have ever met, Tom was also very active in the real world, as we might phrase it. He was active in politics. He had actually done an internship with a congressman from New Jersey early on in his term in office as a way of coming to understand exactly how government worked more deeply so that he could impact it more effectively. When the Anglican Communion was divided over issues of human sexuality, Tom was a leader and an advocate for the rights of gays and lesbians in the church. And yet he also traveled extensively and worked closely with people in Africa so that he could understand why they were so opposed to it. If there was anyone who was worldly, it was Tom. And so he often surprised people who expected him to be naive. In our gospel today, the Pharisees and the Herodians, not, by the way, natural allies, set out together to try and trap Jesus. They ask him a no-win question. Is it lawful to pay the poll tax that the Romans levy? The Pharisees argued it look at this coin and it has the emperor's head on it, then the Romans were going to have good cause to arrest him for sedition. If he said, of course you should pay the tax, you should be obedient citizens of the emperor, God doesn't mind that, then the people who had supported Jesus waving palms before his entry into Jerusalem would turn away from him and reject him, because clearly he wasn't the leader they were waiting for. It was not a good question for someone who was unworldly. But Jesus wasn't unworldly either. And he knew perfectly well what they were up to. How could you not with that kind of introduction? And Jesus manages to turn the question on its head. Because by offering this somewhat vague and ambiguous answer, Jesus not only suggests that one can choose to pay the tax if one considers that right and appropriate, he also reminds the people listening that paying the tax or not paying the tax isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is not the image on the coin, but the image they have been made in. He reminds them that they are not just subjects of the emperor. They are made in the image of God, and they belong to God. And all of their decisions need to flow from that sureness and surety. They are God's. And whether they pay the tax or not, that is what matters. I think Jesus knew perfectly well that as long as we are living in this world and this life, there are things that we cannot escape. Taxes are just one of them. We have to make livings. We have to pay taxes. We have to figure out what to do in situations that aren't obviously good or bad. Sometimes the only choices we have are bad. And what matters as we navigate that is less the choices we make than where those choices stem from. Knowing that we are God's. Knowing that our allegiance and our loyalty is always and in the end to God. Tom Shaw lived that out as well as anybody I have ever known. His daily prayer life, his focus on God, his longing to serve God is what drove the things he did. When he went into the political realm, it was rooted in his prayer and in his understanding of the baptismal vows, to uphold the dignity of all, to care for every single person as a child of God. When he tried to work through conflicts in the church, it was with the deep respect and understanding that comes from prayerfully holding up your enemies, praying for those who persecute you, and recognizing that they too were beloved children of God. When he came out and raised money, I'm convinced that one of the reasons and the witness he bore for us of what it looks like to know that you are God's. To know that you are a child of God and that everything you do needs to be rooted in that sureness and that certainty of whom we belong to. I will miss the witness of his life, a life that was deeply rooted in knowing he belonged to God. Amen.